Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
So Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to be with you. It is getting a little dicey out there, isn't it?
It's kind of spicing
up the weather, but we hope it'll all settle down.
Blow this tropical air out of here, and we'll have some spring. So the forecast I gave for the rest of the week after tomorrow is very, very nice. And speaking of very nice, the weather last weekend, while hot, we didn't have any severe weather or anything else to deal with while Bloomington was marching peacefully. Give us your thoughts on the Enough is Enough protest to get things started here on a Tuesday. Everybody met down in Dunn Meadow, marched, it seemed, peacefully up to the courthouse square, and talks and local leaders presented their thoughts and ideas. I didn't see anything. Did I miss anything here? Or was it just a no news is good news peaceful protest?
Well, Glass, it was really an extraordinary day for Bloomington. Don and I went down and stayed kind of physically distant. I was hesitant to jump into the throng, in part because of the sensitivity about the coronavirus. But everyone was masked. But the big point was thousands and thousands of people, and I have to say it's the largest such rally I know of in recent Bloomington history. Came together peacefully, very diverse group, very engaged and active group that has a vision and wants to advocate for a more just community and a more just country, and to respond to some of the terrible things we've seen, which we all we know about, of abusive police behavior and vigilante behavior against African Americans in our country. And it was a really powerful day to me, I have to say. Bloomington stood up strong and marched and protested for justice, but also did it, as you said, in a very peaceful way. The march organizers, I talked with two young women who were kind of the genesis of this event, and they were extraordinary young women who were very organized, very focused on trying to make positive change and unify the town gown, and work very closely to try to help keep everybody safe. And it was a wonderful, energetic push to keep getting better. And that's a great Bloomington story. And I'm really proud of the way it happened.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. And before that scheduled event took place on Friday. I don't know if it's the wonderful power of the social media world or whatever it is, but many rumors were started about perhaps this, maybe that, some ne'er-do-goods coming this direction. None of that, none of that materialized, I guess.
No, we did hear rumors and stories of a van full of this coming from there, or a van full of that coming from where, I'm sure there were a lot of people who joined our community for this rally. It was promoted and widely known. I know when Don and I were watching it, we were saying, "Well, these people all can't be from Bloomington. This is too many to turn out." But it was, maybe it helps that you have organizers and a tone and a community that from the beginning has made really clear, we are supporters of the issues and the racial justice, and we are not here to destroy things. We're here to improve things, and for whatever combination of good things, it worked very well, and the organizers were organized, and the safety folks, there were a few people who overheated, there were some some health issues from that, but we had vendors, businesses along the route who set up tables and welcomed the marchers and put out water and put signs in their windows and made clear that we're welcome here. We're all together on this issue that we want to improve our community and get rid of vestiges of racism that still are among us.
Now, we've noticed there is a throng of protesters that still remain on the courthouse grounds in downtown Bloomington. Is that just part of the new normal? Is that organized? Are you in communication with those people? How does, I don't know, is there a next phase to this? What, could you help me out there?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to kind of next phase. Those are not, the rally organizers had a start and a finish, and they did their job, and the rally came, and the thousands of people came and did the speaking, and there are some people who have decided to stay on and continue things. It will be a challenge. The actual courthouse property is not under my jurisdiction as mayor. It's a county-owned property, so the county government will make decisions about that. But I know they're going to have to wrestle with the fact that we do not allow in the community generally camping and outside sleeping overnight in most places. We know there are, of course, there are several hundred people who are homeless in our community at a given time, and we work very hard to make sure they have places to stay. Protests, it's going to have to kind of get worked out how that goes forward, and I expect and hope that it'll be done constructively, creatively, supportively, with folks who are trying to let their message be heard.
We're speaking with Mayor John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And Mayor, you're in the news, whether you want to be or not, and that has to do with an appointment the way I read it, we need some clarification, a technicality of how long you had to make the appointment, didn't make it, and then the county Republican chair gets to make the appointment, and he made it, and then the city says that's not going to be valid. I know there's some legal issues ongoing and everything, but what is, can you help us understand what the story really is?
Sure, I can do my best. There may be litigation, so I have to be a little careful. But in general, we have 30, 35 boards and commissions, and some of them are governed by state law, including this one, the Plan Commission. They're created by state law, and there's some provisions to that, and it is accurate that under state law, some of these commissions, if any mayor does not fill a position that was part of a different political party's representative. So not to get too much in the weeds, some of these commissions under state law are required to have a mix of political
right.
membership, so that one mayor of one party can't stack the whole Plan Commission with their party friends and stuff. So there's a statute that says if a mayor doesn't fill one of those minority positions that was representing a particular party, the chair of that political party can fill it. That's true. The problem that the Republican Party has with this circumstance is that the person whose seat they were trying to fill was not a Republican. And you don't get to fill a seat from a independent or a Green Party or another party just because you happen to be one of the minority parties. So that's kind of where the conflict uh-huh. is. We had an opening and COVID got into this. We got pretty busy with a lot of things in February and March and didn't fill a position. We're looking for the right person. And the Republican chair said, I want to fill that slot, even though it wasn't filled by a Republican before. So that's where the conflict comes from. And we're pretty confident that we've done the right thing, but maybe a court will have to figure it out. I hope it doesn't end up there, but the Plan Commission will continue its work, and it's got the good statutory mix of representatives from different political parties on it now.
You talk about not heading to court. Is there mediation you can do before this, or where do we go from here?
I don't know. Do you offer that to the radio? Can you do that? You know,
come on over. We'll see what we can do.
Fighting out of the blue corner.
Yeah, we'll have conversations and talks, and but I can't tell you where it's gonna head at the moment.
Understood.
You mentioned, Mr. Mayor, the Plan Commission. There's an important meeting tonight. Can you talk about that?
Well, we have meetings almost every night. Of course, they're all Zoom meetings now, you know,
right.
still. And one of the interesting things is I think a lot of people say, hey, when you're allowed to meet back in person, keep doing these Zoom meetings, because
right.
I like sitting at home in my jammies watching these meetings rather than having to come, you know. And I can still weigh in and shoot my messages through and pay attention anyway. So tonight we actually have a public works meeting that's going to be reviewing the plans for Kirkwood. And if you haven't been on Kirkwood, they're pretty much, I think, wrapped up the construction there with the repaving.
Right.
And we put in
nice.
some a new way to control traffic. And so I think the goal is for not this weekend, but the following weekend, June 19th, to do our first pilot closing of some parts of Kirkwood to allow outside dining. So that should be the weekend of the 19th, 20th, and 21st. It's pending approval tonight, but to close off the east and west lanes of Kirkwood, keeping the north-south cross streets open between Grant and Indiana, and allow the restaurants to basically fill up all the way through the parking lanes, move pedestrians to the middle of the street, and let a lot more outside dining happen. So
a different taste of Bloomington.
There you go. So I hope that'll, well, first we hope we'll have good weather, but we've been working really closely with the restaurants, of course, who are struggling so hard to recover, and that'll happen. And then last night was the Plan Commission, and they approved a couple important housing projects, too, that I can talk about if you want to.
Before we leave Kirkwood, first of all, the city really pushed hard to finish Kirkwood in a record time. And it put some people out because it was just about the time that the governor said the restaurants could reopen. And the pace with which that was all accomplished, my hat's off to everybody that was involved because it's a first-class project.
Well, you know, as you in a normal year, we would have planned and had planned to do that project during the summer after students leave and before students come back when you have a little lower volume, because, of course, it's a very busy street and hard to redo without disrupting a lot of people. When COVID hit, we really changed and accelerated that plan and moved it forward, and we actually completed it 7 weeks ahead of schedule to get that done. It is tough, but with everything else going on, but it's never a good time to do that kind of construction. But I hope that people will be able to see we've really got a wonderful asset now that can be one of the things you'll notice. We can put poles in instead of big bollards or jersey barriers or water barriers or anything else. We can just put a series of poles in any of the sides of all those intersections. So it gives you a lot of flexibility for festivals and usages. So we really want to try to experiment, start playing with that and seeing how we can use that, you know, Bloomington Champs-Élysées, as I say, you know, our center street there in the best ways that we can. Let's get creative. Let's think about new things to do there.
Yeah, and it makes sense with the restaurant angle coming forward as well. You get a little chance to move that around. Speaking of moving around, you had some people to move around at the farmer's market. That's new. How did that work out last weekend?
You know, I didn't get to go last weekend. I'm hoping to go this Saturday, but we did have the first time this season that we've been able to have kind of walk-up traffic. And we had that up to 75 or plus people that we just said, you don't have to buy ahead like we've had up to date, where 600 or more people have signed up and purchased their food online. And I understood it went really well. You know, it's still not the same farmer's market. It doesn't have the bands and the quite the festivities, but it's helping the vendors, it's helping the local agriculture sell more. And I was really pleased with the reports. I'm hoping to go there myself. So it's got limited numbers for the walk-up trade. We still encourage the large majority of people are still going online to make their orders ahead, and you go and pick them up, and that's a very efficient way to do it. But we're trying to experiment with this and see how many people we can let through at a time. Masks, physical distance, all the protocols, keeping everybody safe, and so far it's been working well.
And this Saturday you will have a larger crowd on your hands because it's not going to be 90, it's going to be 75 and sunny. So that'll
Ooh.
Be
nice.
Everybody be
nice.
Flexible, take nice. Your time and just wait your turn because the farmer's pickup is now right. The market. So that
any
help.
More changes this weekend, Mayor?
I think they're just no substantial changes this weekend in the market. Now we are coming up. The county health order for stage three is through June 15th, so that's next Sunday.
You're reading my mind. You're reading my mind because obviously Governor Holcomb's runs through what 11:59 on June 13th. So it starts. Yes, so I think we're saying the same. Or I'm saying it 1 hour off the this weekend. that will happen. Are we going to hear guidance later in the week from the health department like we did a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, I expect we will. And this from stage three, which is what we're in now with one adjustment on terms of social gathering size. to stage four, you know, some of the big changes are bars being allowed to open, pools, playgrounds. And I will confess to you that I'm still concerned. It's kind of feels to me a little bit like things look good. The weather is good. But in the ear, I hear the radio weatherman saying there's a storm coming. So just be sure. Don't forget, you know, there's still a storm coming. And so it's really tricky. The local health data continues to be good in terms of hospitalizations. A really important prevalence study has just been conducted, which is a random sample of Hoosiers all around the state, including in Monroe County, to measure who has had the sickness and who is sick at this moment. And we knew 6 or 8 weeks ago it was 2.8% of Hoosiers. We're going to find out in the next week or two, did it go up or down? And that's a really important number, but we just don't know it yet. So I expect, you know, we'll probably see some recommended changes from the county health department. I have to describe myself as pretty cautious on this and conservative. I just think, you know, we're going to have tens of thousands of students probably coming back from all over the country and the world. We really need to be careful that we don't backslide. So let's just take it a step at a time, and I'll repeat the grandmother maxim that says just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. So let's be careful.
To that point, our behavior, as you've told us before, will determine our behavior. It seems like, from what you've just said, our behavior has been pretty good. Who's to say that's going to change? Are we getting comfortable in the new behavior? Is that the light at the end of the tunnel we're hoping we see?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mixed. We don't have really good data. Like, for example, I will say at the march and the rally, it was well over 90% of the people were masked.
I was told the same thing.
I don't know. So that's great. On the other hand, I can take you to places in Bloomington where well under 5% or 10% of the people are masked at a particular party or gathering or setting. And so it really varies. And we just don't know. We need to continue to encourage care. That will determine that, plus the virus. You know, we can wish all we want and we take the good efforts that we can, but the virus is going to decide, and our behavior are going to determine how it affects us. And you all know, you know, it hit our family hard, and we know it can hit communities very hard. We had a long-term care facility that had dozens of cases. You just got to be careful. Because we want to keep moving forward and not slip backwards.
We're speaking with the mayor of Bloomington, John Hamilton. And Mr. Mayor, there are a lot of kids that are listening, and you've talked and really trumpeted Switchyard Park because the pools didn't open, and you have been talking about the splash zone. And you probably more than anyone else can't wait for that to get open. But where are we on that?
Well, yeah, Switchyard Park is, you know, it opened formally in November, but we knew we had a lot of grass to put down and other things to get done. And of course, we had to close the playground because of the pandemic and other things. It's going to be a spectacular place, and it already is. Hundreds of people are in there every day, back and forth. But the splash pad, which is part of the platform, as we call it, kind of that center space with the buildings and the shelters and such, will open this month, I am confident. I can't give you a date yet, but I hope it's on one of those hot days we can turn it on. You know, it's awful not to be able to open the pools. I know our parks people are heartbroken about it because they love the programs that they can offer and the spirit of those places. So they're gonna do the best, and we are going to do the best we can to make the splash pad a fun place to visit this summer.
And this summer will be right around the corner, June 20th. Again, we'll have a great end of spring weekend this weekend. And as we move forward, you talk about things that aren't going on. The Chicago Today, Taste of Chicago not happening, Lollapalooza not happening. So,
oh, boy.
That's right up the street. And we heard Mark Miles from the Indianapolis 500 say, hey, look, if we can't get people in the stands for August, we're looking to move the race to October. So I think people are still keeping an eye on that, but well, it'll be interesting to see. Do you expect any big news from the governor tomorrow, or do you think he'll just stay on the course that they've put out a couple of months ago?
You know, that's a good question. I from what I've seen, the statewide data, I expect that he will probably continue the steps forward. The biggest concern I would have about that, I guess, from our perspective locally, are a couple. I'm concerned about the bars and how alcohol can start to change behavior, as our health officer reminds us. When people get alcohol in them, they start to get less cautious overall, and that's one issue. And then the second is the social gathering size, which, if the governor proceeds, would go up to 250 people. And, you know, when you have 250 people, then you're probably on the odds you're going to have one or two people who just randomly may be infectious. And if you have one or two people who are infectious in a big wedding reception or concert hall or anything like that, that's a place where dozens of people can get infected. So, you know, I just am still concerned about that. But I expect the governor will probably continue to try to move forward. And look, we all have our fingers crossed and hope that we won't have any surges or setbacks. So we'll just have to see what happens and be patient and try to all keep doing the smart things that we can do with masks and washing and physical distance and such.
Mayor, excellent job as always. Come back and join us again next Tuesday, pretty please.
Of course. All things willing, as they say, God willing and the creek don't rise, I'll be here, right?
Well, we didn't Thanks, guys. Dodging the weather this afternoon, we'll be all right, I think. And, we'll do it again next Tuesday. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mayor.
Have a good week. Thanks.